CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, South Africa, and everybody else who happens to be listening, and everybody with data, all protocol observed. Welcome to Sipping Tea with Timmy Meraki. Today, funny enough, I'm not sipping anything. I think it's because I'm overwhelmed and moved and currently still in a state of some kind of flux of thought and emotion because of the young lady who I have invited into my studio today. Ladies and gentlemen, the young lady before me is a director. She is a designer of stage things. She is a, even she can even manage stage things, ne? Ne, Jade, yes. And she is a visionary. She's an exciting mind in this country as far as I'm concerned. The little bit I know from doing a little bit of homeworks is that she's from Cape Town and she is the recipient of the Standard Bank Young Artist Award for 2016. Oh, so you win it last year, then this year you do your play, so you are for indeed. 2016.
Indeed.
So the guy who wins it this year is actually for 2017.
Indeed.
Oh, so the year in which she won it was 2015, but she is the 2016 because that's the year that the National Arts Festival then gave her money and said, here's money, show us how brilliant you can be without asking for it. Am I correct?
A little bit, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Jade Bowers.
Hello, hello.
Now, Sipping Tea, guys, before Jade introduces herself to you formally, Sipping Tea is not an arts show, but I do acknowledge that over the past couple of weeks, it's been me and arts and performers. But that's because that's a space to Marake is in right now. I'm in a creative space, me. I am taking in other people's work in all shapes and sizes and forms. And this particular woman put on a show that my husband was cast in. And my curiosity was piqued, number one, in the role he got. Because my husband, I've seen the roles he gets. He's generally the comic relief, you know. He's something light. And this woman saw something in him that I think has only ever been seen once by the man who cast him in A Million Colors in the role of this gangster who literally necklaces people and kills people for fun. Jade, tell us. Tell the peoples. Scotched. Before we even get into Scotched, tell the peoples, who is this young lady who brought us Scotched? Who then went, you had people crying, heaving, crying. Like before I even watched your show, I was like, I must pack tissues so that I'm ready. But also I must pack shoes for walking in case I want to walk. Because your play is so, it's so, what's the word? It is so, nobody takes it in emptily. Mm. People respond to it in a definite manner. They are definitely touched. They are definitely moved physically or figuratively. Talk to me.
You know, Scorched is weird like that.
Mm.
And talking about the roles, and this was one thing that I really looked at when casting, was for people to get the roles that they don't normally get.
Mm.
And I, you know, what really bothers me as a colored woman is I'm so sick of colored women playing the fishwife,
yeah,
the comedian, the crazy woman,
yes,
the, you know what I mean?
The strut mate who's just up to start a fight.
Exactly.
And then must thicken the accent.
Exactly.
Like we all already
exactly
have accents. But exactly now she must thicken it on stage.
Exactly.
No, it's
that
not thick enough.
And so hearing you say that in Baden Paul, is that, that's why.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
that's what's also exciting for me. I mean, the cast are these amazing people.
Yes, what a cast.
I mean, I'm honored that they've even agreed to work with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
listen, listen.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've seen them on stage.
I've seen them. This woman has Ilse Klink. For some of you who don't claim people by name but by face, she was on Isidingo for a while. She's a very easily recognizable actress. What else has she done? She's done quite a bit of.
She's TV. Also in Heidi at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And she.
Heidi!
Mm-hmm. And I think she's also doing that Brecht show.
Yeah, she's huge.
That Amy Jeffter did, yeah. She's working
huge.
All the time.
She's huge.
She's amazing.
You've got Imposter Tutu, obviously. You've got Amira Patel, who is... She is like just the quintessential queen of theater. She
who
is
just published a novel.
Published a novel.
Outside the Lines.
And she's sexy, guys. She's sexy. She has a baby. She has a sexy husband. It's like Amira, really. She can't lose. It's upsetting.
Mail and Guardian top 200.
Listen to this. Like, she's just hashtag winning.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband is in the play as well. Jock is in, and mm-hmm. he's a beautiful man. Beautiful soul. Beautiful. Just,
so much.
And the talent. The guy is a mover. Like, he moves. You guys don't understand. Like, you could be going, yeah, but me, I don't care about theater. Guys, you should see this guy move his body. Then you go, but my body's joking here. My body's playing games here. Who else?
Sheree Halley.
Sheree, yes.
Yeah, we did What the
It was the first time I saw Sheree. I'd heard a lot about her before, but I'd never actually seen her perform. Mm.
We did What the Water Gave Me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so she came to audition for me as well. Mm.
And What the Water Gave Me is actually one of the productions you've done that had people raising their eyebrows and going, must watch out for this Jade Bowers girl.
It was. I think since that moment, it's just kind of been a roller coaster ride until now. That show was also deep and meaningful. written by Rihanna Abrams, Cape Townian as well. And yes, I mean, it won a Standard Bank Ovation Award, a silver award.
A silver ovation.
And then we brought it back last year when I did Tin Bucket Drum with Warona Siene. And Matthew McFarlane also did Tin Bucket Drum, who's now doing the music for Scorched.
Nice. But you've never auditioned me, though. You've auditioned everyone.
You know, if your agent sends me things, then you see the things will be to make the things not to happen.
Did you tell my agent?
Well, I must tell you, actually, my mother-in-law came to watch your show in Grahamstown. And she won the prize.
Oh, for people who are wondering what she's talking about, we did a play called Tease, and people won a gift pack which included sex toys.
Yeah. So I think she came out there very red and embarrassed, like laughing it off, you know, ha, 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 ha,
yes.
But I'm sure it went with her home.
I was going to say, I was sure she was just clutching onto this thing. This is so embarrassing. Leave it alone. It's mine. That's brilliant.
And I'm sure she'll listen to this and be like, no, Jade, stop lying about me, Jade.
I gave it away to a needy woman.
Because I never saw it. I just heard about it.
So your excuse for me not seeing the thing and you trying to digress and take me to please. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. I will come. You will cast me one day. Don't worry. But Scorched, guys, I want to talk about Scorched. We're going to get into you. Let's get Scorched out of the way. For anyone who wants to see this, if you're not into theater, you've never been to a theater show, I would strongly recommend you come and see this. If you're a lover of theater and you are a nitpicker and you want to be satisfied, watch this show. It is currently on at the UJ
Arts Centre Theatre on Kingsway Campus in Auckland Park. It's running from tomorrow, 7:30, until Friday is the last show, 7:30, and there's a matinee on Thursday the 4th at 12.
But people can watch today, right? Tuesday. From today when do you close?
Friday's the last show.
Friday's the last show.
And there's a matinee on the Thursday.
A matinee, for those who are not in that way educated, a matinee is a show that happens during the day. So if you have a gap in the day, what time?
12.
12.
Midday
on Thursday. Midday on Thursday. Please go and watch this show. Trust me. You know what I love about Scorched being on right now? Because there's so many themes to it, but the big thing is how anger begets anger, how we can even, on some level, it feels like genetically passed down anger and pain.
Yes.
And you look at this country where when you look at the conversations, when you look at the racist Tourette's that happens, you get that sense that as a people, we don't realize that hate is begetting more hate. We think, oh, we've moved on so far.
Yeah.
But then there's still so many layers of pain and anger to get through.
It's so, you know, I think we don't realize that we've come out of war.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what really touches me about this play is that it speaks to us right now.
Yes.
And how do we as a people, as a family, as individuals, move forward? Because we've passed down, I mean, I wasn't born during apartheid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was born in 87.
Mm.
So just at the tail end.
Mm.
And yet we still feel those angers, those hates, those, even just the unknowing. Because I've never experienced it, but I feel all these feels about racism, about violence, about our society. And how do we move past that? How do we heal?
But now, when you speak about this whole race thing, because, you know, one thing I also loved about Scorched is it doesn't lay blame anywhere. Because, you know, here it's easy to play the blame game. But in Scorched, you go in war. War is war. It has its own rules. Mm. It has, you know, the people who come out of it and have to move on out of it don't even have, they don't even have that privilege of laying blame somewhere else. It's all about the work they need to do internally. Because they you become so broken, your soul is broken. I don't think human beings were made for war. Yeah? What made you pick Scorched now? I mean, we're going into elections. I'll tell you why I say this. Because I was listening to, you know, these politicians, Khateng An and An. And I got annoyed when one of the things Zuma said was, when you're voting DA, you don't know if they're black or white.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's not the language of today. Why are you that for me? It sounds like you're campaigning in the 80s and we're sitting in 2016.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that cannot be a standpoint today. And then here's this play that goes, we all have this residual cuck that'll come back.
Yeah. And she says, actually, the main character, Nawal, says in her testimony that you are responsible for me and I am responsible for you.
For you, yes.
And I think it's something we forget as a people. Mm. And don't even get me started on politics. I still don't know who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, but we have to vote. And the tough thing is we can't not vote because then you don't vote.
Yeah.
And a non-vote is nothing. You are... a flaccid penis. That's what you are if you don't go out there and vote. You need to vote. A spoiled vote says something.
Yes. Agreed.
And a proper vote says something. So you need to say something. You can't sit at home and not vote.
Yes. And even a strategic vote.
Yes. A strategic vote.
A strategic vote.
Like, I don't like this guy, but by voting for this guy, I'm putting fire under that guy.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Because my issue is, now we're talking politics, but my issue is, I don't want to vote for the ANC. But I really like Parks, man. Parks is doing such a good job. So now who do I vote for, right?
You should try my strategy. You should try. You know what I do? Funny enough, when it's wards, I'm like, in this ward, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to find out who's running this shit.
Yeah.
I like what you do or I don't like what you do. If I don't like what you do, I'm getting the next guy. I couldn't give a rat's ass which party you're with. Tell me who the guy is. Then I'm going to think about him and his team. You know what I mean? It's when it's national that I'm screwed. There, yeah. I start having sleepless nights. With these small ones, I'm like, I can deal because I know it's closer to home. It's a community I care about, and it's easy for me to find out what's going on. On a larger scale, I won't lie, I think everyone in politics right now is a complete and utter cuff up on some level, and we need to find which of the two is a lesser evil. I'm sorry, I think they're all just the same creature.
I agree.
No.
And if I get another SMS or phone call from the
DA, listen!
Yo!
Listen! You know, it's like, I have to be honest. And I feel it's a personal choice that I will never actually be overt about who I'm into, who I'm not. But I was sitting there going, you know when a guy hits on you? Like, he hits on you now. You're like, okay, I'm going to go think about it. But then he's WhatsApping you, and then he's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then he's also calling your maid because then he has your maid's number. And then he's calling your mother as well to tell your mother how much she loves you. Can she convince you to say yes? You're going to say no because now he's freaking bugging you.
Yeah.
Like, you had me. You talked me into saying yes, and you've literally managed to talk me into saying no now.
And the worst thing is that the people who call you don't even know what they're talking about. Because now if I have time, okay, you know, I'm that person. Yeah. If I have time, I'll have that conversation with you.
Yes.
And I'll be like, yeah, but look at the Western Cape. You have make toilets without doors. And they're like, no. But then they don't actually know how to respond to you. So they can't even sell it to me. And that's what makes me even more
and
annoyed.
They're so
at least sell it, right?
Yeah. And they're sell so-called it. Gentrification, where I'm going to be like, talk to me about how you are not packaging a displacement of people.
Mm.
And calling it gentrification. Just be honest. Because for me, gentrification would mean, you know those colored folks who have that little business on the corner? Mm. You're including them in your plans for this little farmer's market you've got. And you're not going to charge them a rent that they can't freaking afford so that they're forced off this place to make the money that they need to make.
Oh, yeah.
Promise me you're not giving someone 10,000 rand and saying, I need you to move out of this flat. And then they're excited because they know poverty. 10,000 rand sounds like a lot of money. The 10,000 rand finishes. Now they're living in some informal settlement somewhere because the 10,000 rand is finished.
Oh, yeah.
And you are making 10 million off the flat that you took from them.
You see what's happening in the book up.
Yeah.
So, for me,
and this is why I say, you know what? Right now, this country can't afford to vote on color. It can't afford to vote on emotions and past. You need to vote on what is happening and what you can see in front of you. And it's hard to paint the whole country with one paintbrush.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to places where ANC is doing beautiful work. I've been to places where they are cack.
Mm.
The same thing with the DA, where I'm like, this is overt racism or this is covert racism, and this is a party that represents a new country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a fuck up. But that play, Scorched,
sorry.
I want to take it back to Scorched because yes. I feel like that's what Scorched does. It goes, there is no black and white.
It goes beyond that. It's about people.
Yes.
It's about family.
Yes.
It's about... whoever you are. I mean, even the, although it's kind of set Middle East, Canada, where it was written, it doesn't name
it's
a real place.
So
none of the places that are named in are real places.
Mm.
And for me, when I'm reading that, I'm like, actually, this is South Africa.
Mm.
Actually.
Mm. Mm.
And you can't even, I mean, they talk about refugees. I mean, everything is so relevant.
Yes.
You can't remove it from yourself.
Mm. But when I speak about black and white, you know, I'm talking about the lines. You know how lines are blurred. Some people think there's good and bad. There's nothing in between. It's this way or that way. There's nothing in between. And then I watch this play and I go, there's something in between.
There's so much in between.
You have that line with your doctor. I love how the doctor now explains the people killing each other. And he starts with, no, this one killed this one for revenge on that. But this one was killing that one because of revenge. And then the revenge goes back and back and back and back. And then he goes, at this point, I lose the story because I don't even know where this started. You know what I mean?
But if you look at the way the characters are framed, no one's a good guy or
a
bad guy. People have the issues and they have the history and they move forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they say, one of my favorite lines in the play is, the brute and the rapist will have his origins in love.
Sure.
And in turn, that love story will have its origins in violence and rape.
Oh, say that again, please. That's beautiful, man.
The brute and the rapist will have his origins in love, and in turn, that love will have its origins in rape and violence.
Sure. That is intense. That is... How did your cast... You know, I wanted to have a cast member here, but then I was like, let me not push people too much. But how do you get them to go home lighter? Because after watching the show, I literally went, how has my husband managed to come home and not be heavy and depressed? Because the subject matter is actually quite heavy. Because, I mean, I left there feeling like I need to phone my dad and go, I'm so sorry, I've been so pissed off at you for so long. I realized there might be a whole backstory to why you are the way you are. You know what I mean? Because it got me thinking about that a lot of us will call our mothers, fathers assholes or whatever. Mm. We're angry at them for whatever reason. Not realizing these are people... three-dimensional like us, who have their own history and past, who have to deal with their own parents and their own realities. And what we are getting is the byproduct of whatever they've been through. But all we are seeing is what they put us through.
Yeah. It's intense. And I think that's the life of an actor. Mm. I think they give their vulnerabilities on stage.
Mm.
And it's a discussion that we've had numerous times in rehearsal, is how do you leave it behind when you leave the theater?
Mm.
And I mean, we do a few techniques or whatever, but really, it really is up to the actor to leave it behind. And I say we keep our little boxes, you know, inside.
How
so everything goes back into
you?
The box. And then you close the lid when you go home and you open it when you get on the stage.
How did you get them to trust you like that?
It's a strange process. I don't think that there's one way. A lot of talking, a lot of sharing, and a lot of delving into characters. Yeah, I can't even explain. I was actually having this idea because I was speaking with Geeta Patha about how do we document our process. Because I think as South Africans, we tend to read so much about, you know, European and American processes and how do we take ownership of our own processes and document them in order to, you know, give them to other people and to dissect process. And I was thinking, how do I do that? I don't even know, but something I'm willing to try.
Was it a big shocker for you moving from Western Cape to Gauteng? Because I asked this because I spoke to another artist from Cape Town and he said to me, it's a comedian actually, and he said to me, when he's doing comedy in Cape Town with the Cape Townians, it's all fun and light and it's fluffy, you know, you can handle it. And he said when he comes here, he feels like everybody's an activist.
Yeah.
It's like there's some kind of, you know, campaign. He missed the memo.
I enjoy Joburg so much. I don't think I could move back to Cape Town. I suppose it depends on what circles you're in, because I feel like everyone's an activist.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be.
Yeah.
You can't be placid or flaccid.
Placid.
As you
said. Yes. But would you say, in terms of integration and your real world,
Joburg.
Joburg. Okay.
Joburg, hands down.
Yeah.
I think that's what I enjoy and what I felt moving here.
Did you grow up around everybody, or did you grow up in terms of Cape Town? Were you very coloured community, coloured school, coloured friends, coloured frame of reference, or did you, because you went to university, get to...
Actually, I went to a previous Model C school.
Ah.
We actually moved in 1992.
Okay.
And... So I grew up with a lot of white friends, actually.
Okay.
And I mean, I'll tell you a story. It's funny. Well, I think it's funny. Is when I came to school. So I started Sub A in 1994. And I was one of the very few people of color in that school at the time. And I came in and people were like, "Oh, Jade, are you colored?" And I was like, "No." I had no idea what it was.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was, that was, you know, I didn't know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had grown up with my family, you know, cousins and, you know, colored families, also the 20 million cousins, those are all your friends.
Yes.
And so it was a strange thing for me in the beginning. And then coming to UCT, obviously more integration. And then I came to Joburg. Because I went to Wits to study my honours.
Woo! Fellow Witsy!
And then I was like, yes! This is South Africa! Where have I been? You know, like a real integration.
Yeah.
And not just with races, but also different countries. Like
yes,
meeting people from Zambia, Botswana, Mozambique.
You get a taste of everything.
Love it.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
Yeah. And do you find politics of identity with colored people? Because I mean, I've noticed that in your plays, you have cast a lot of colored actors, and even your choice of writers and stuff, you've gone for people who have a mixed heritage, you know? Did you find when you came to Joburg that then it becomes the Joburg colored versus the Cape Town colored versus the blacker colored to the whiter colored to the colored? Because for me, I feel like, and you have to understand, my questioning comes from a place where I think when I was in university, everybody was finding themselves.
Yeah.
Because the country was kind of, the angst was starting to die down a little bit, but identity became a huge thing. Where it was like the Khlada with the blue is hanging out with the white folk because she's closer to them. And then the one with the Kris and the criminal cops, they're all coming to the blacks because they feel like closer to those guys. But if they're going to date, they're going to go as far up the white as they can in terms of color line and stay as far away from the brown as possible. So I wondered, is this like a reality when you've grown up, like you say, with your community that doesn't make you question who you are? And then you end up in a community where everybody, it's important that you know your place.
You know, for me, it's, again, it's not about the black and white. It's about the spectrum.
Yes.
And so I think now I'm also just in that age of also questioning.
Yeah.
And what is my identity? Who do I identify with? Because as you say, in the cast, there's a lot of colored people, but not all of them identify with being colored.
With being colored, yeah.
And I was actually just having this conversation with Grace about, do you self-identify? And if you don't self-identify, can you then speak on these issues? And it's a very hardcore question, actually, because you're going to so many different layers and layers. So for me, it's about the spectrum. And the work that I do, I like to try and speak to that spectrum. Because, you know, as colored people, whether you're from Cape Town or Joburg or wherever, and I think I hear this so often, is we're not black enough, we're not white enough, you know? So where, how is that colored experience different? And as a marginalized people, because again, we're not part of the mainstream talking, you know, the discourse on race.
Yeah.
It's always black and white, you know, and they forget, hi, we're here too. We've been here.
But that's because everybody picks. We pick, we go, ooh, I'll take this one as a little browner. I'll take it. You can identify as us. And then I was like, okay, we'll take these ones. They sound a little bit more like us. So we'll take these ones.
Yeah, so for me, it's about the spectrum and showcasing that on a mainstream. So how do you take the fringe, whether it be of society, of storytelling, of theater, and put that on a mainstream? Just to open this conversation.
Because
would you have had this conversation with anyone else?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So just to open that discourse and be like, hi, this is our culture. Yeah. And we go beyond the minstrel, you know, going down the road, you know, singing the songs.
Because you know what I feel is we're all saying we want to move forward and this legacy of apartheid must be deleted and erased and whatever. And I go, but we still name ourselves and identify ourselves based on apartheid guidelines.
Agreed.
Colored term, black term. Those terms are terms that came with apartheid when they needed to box everybody so they knew where to place them physically on land.
Yeah.
Now, if we're saying we're trying to move forward and we're trying to integrate and, you know, just identify as human first, those titles, don't they kind of need to fly?
I agree. I mean, it's so difficult because it goes, without them, how do you readdress what has happened? And then yet, how do we move beyond them? And it's such a deep-rooted question because it was so long. I mean, it's only been 20-odd years, you know? People think it's a long time. It's not a long time.
It's not a long time.
It's not a long
Slavery
time.
Slavery ended when in America, and that's still an issue.
You know? Yeah. And so it's such a loaded question and something that you can't give an answer to, but something we can talk about. And so, I mean, we got a review now just the other day, I think yesterday, saying, oh, but it doesn't answer any questions. But art's not there to answer your questions.
Yeah, right.
It's there to pose questions.
And to make you question as well, because you're probably not even questioning.
Yeah.
I think whoever this reviewer was probably wasn't questioning anyway. And then suddenly found themselves questioning, going, but now I'm questioning. Where's the answer?
Yeah. And there aren't answers. There's just more questions.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a break. Now you can see Dwemarake can also be an intellectual. How deep is this conversation, huh? Huh? Yeah, I see you now. Promise that you won't tear my love apart. Come for me, come for me, come for me, come. Don't let me slip from you, don't let me run. Promise I'll keep it closer to my heart. Promise that you won't tear my love apart. Come for me, come for me, come for me, come. Don't let me slip from you, don't let me run. Promise I'll keep it closer to my heart. Promise that you won't tear my love apart. Promise the na 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 na. Yes, apart, baby. That's Ricky. What's his name? Ricky Blaze. You guys should check out this guy. Like his music, I found him by accident in Paris. And that's where I encountered this song. I'm still hanging out with Jade Bowers.
Hey.
Talented, talented young lady who's the director of Scorched, which is happening at the UJ Arts Theatre.
Indeed.
At the University of Johannesburg campus. On Kingsway.
Indeed.
Indeed.
So don't forget that tomorrow is a public holiday. Because you only have to go vote. So you can most come watch the show.
Watch the show.
At 7:30.
At 7:30 p.m. Or
you can go vote and then come and watch then the show because we still have another show on Wednesday at 7:30.
So reward yourself by watching Scorched is what this young lady is telling you right now. And take it from me, guys. Trust me, you want to see this play. I will, hey, if you go and watch this play and you're like, oh, this thing, Oscar, come to me. I'm going to pay you back whatever you paid to watch that show. I promise you, this show was amazing.
But don't forget that it's long. Just to warn you, it has an interval.
And bring a blankie. Bring a blankie. The theater is cold. It gets cold. I sat there with my little throw. I have never been more grateful because I was like, yeah, I'm riveted. But I cannot be freezing.
It's very cold.
Yes, it's quite cold. But there's a bar. There's a bar where you can buy things that will warm you up. But don't be drunk because then you'll miss the point of the play. But it's awesome. I honestly, I enjoyed it because also, you know, sometimes in theater people try to be too clever. No, I'm serious. People try to be clever. And I think also with young artist winners, you know, I think there's also that pressure of you've been named as this great
thing. The pressure.
And now you must live up to this thing.
The pressure.
But the way you did your play for me after watching it, I was like, this chick literally went, thanks for the money. Let me show you. Me, I'm going to do me. You didn't go, oh, this is why they made me this thing. Like you, the lightness of touch and the performance of your cast. The lightness of touch and the choices you made, because you let that text do its own work.
But it's so beautiful.
It is.
And I must say that what does help is that the National Arts Festival team and Standard Bank, I'm not just saying this because they're the sponsors, but they are so supportive. And so it's not about, you know, they give you the space to just have to worry about the work. You know, you're not worried about how am I going to pay this person? Do I have space to do this? Can I do this? And they're like, do whatever play you want to do. And they support it.
But you have the coolest freaking director ever, festival director ever. That's why.
Completely.
I mean, finding out he was leaving for me was like, hey, whoever's stepping into your shoes has a hell of a task ahead of them.
Completely. And I have no bias at all. But I think Asha's going to do a great job.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm sure
so.
He will.
But it's like a precedent has been set, really. I mean, I left theater because I was like, me, I want to have a lot of money, to be honest. I mean, it's a space I played in for a while. And then I went, but I want the cushy life. So I'm going to first make my money and then come and play in the theater. When I can afford to do
these
things.
I understand these things.
You know what I mean?
I understand these. I mean, I have a full-time job.
My friend. My friend. Plus, I have three children now.
You need to pay the bills,
yeah,
man.
It's almost like I knew I would have many children and that I would like nice things. But it's a space where I really think, you know, when people switch on the telly, we can all almost automatically guess what we're going to watch. We know what we're going to watch. We know what we're going to hear. But I feel like I want to encourage people to watch theater because that's the one space where you can still be completely surprised, where you are transported, where there are no tricks to transport you to those places. There's no tip. All what you're getting is just physical bodies that are doing things to you. Huh? You're sitting in a space like you don't get more 3D or 4D than that. What you're paying at IMAX, you pay a fraction of that to get that kind of experience from.
Completely.
Hey?
And I think what is so amazing about the cast, especially that first half, you don't even feel it. You're so enthralled.
I was surprised when we went on. I was like, isn't it already? Oh, okay. I'm not ready. And I literally never left. I did not leave my seat. I was like, yeah, but it can't be interval. I was in. Okay, well, I will wait. I'm here. Because I feel like when people are outside and then the theater's empty, they go back in slower. So if they get the sense that, hey, it's about to start, people are sitting, then they come back sooner. So I was like, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here.
But then you watched the whole setup.
I did. It was nice. It was nice. But also to see the sheer focus of your actors. Yeah? And you got my man to sing. Oh, my. I'd forgotten how beautifully important.
I have to tell him to sing more horribly.
Oh, really? Like, he sounds amazing.
Right? I have to keep telling him, like, sounds nice.
Or was he trying to sound cut?
Off-key.
Shame. But you can say, you know, although on the other hand, what I enjoyed, and I don't want to spoiler alert, but the person the character who sings, when he sings that, for me, that I found a beautiful tragedy and juxtaposition in him sounding good. It's like, it's you know,
you could have been on Idols, man. You could have been on Idols.
You are killing people. You know what I mean? Like, because again, that thing of the beauty you can find in ugliness and the ugliness you can find in beauty.
And this was exactly the conversation that I had with Mpo when doing the character work.
Yeah.
We were like, it's too easy to be like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
He just finds beauty in other things.
Yes. And the way he sold it, it messes with the audience, eh? Because I'm sitting there going, everything in me tells me I should hate this character.
Yeah.
But I'm going, I get it. And I ended up giggling. There was one point where I couldn't stop giggling. And it's that uncomfortable. You know that giggle that people get when your brain goes, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Let me just give you a giggle. So it just gives you a giggle because it doesn't know how else to process what it's getting. And that was my giggle of this should be dark. Mm. This should be ugly, but I get it. And this is, I can't believe I actually am on your side right now. Yeah. I shouldn't be on your side. It doesn't it make you sit and go, I'm wondering about Gaddafi and his background. I'm thinking about Osama and what kind of dad he might have been, what kind of husband he might have been. You know what I mean? Don't you find yourself when you look at the characters from Scorched going, we think we know people and we dislike people.
You know? She the one line. See, now you're making me quote the play. I think it's because I finally know some of the lines. There's so many lines. And she says, I will happily, what's something like, I'll happily go into a crowd of those men and blow myself up so that I can shred them to the very marrow of their souls.
Sure.
And you know, if you don't watch the play, you won't sympathize with her.
Yes.
But at that point, you'll be like, I understand. Go do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And it's an empathy that I don't think you can get in any other art form.
You can't watch a suicide bomber and be like, I get it.
Right? Right?
Wow. Wow. How did you happen on Scorched? How did you find this piece?
Well, actually, I was looking at a different piece and then Ashraf gave it to me. He was like, well, this is kind of the play I want to happen. Read it and see if you want to do it. And I read it that night.
Yes.
And I didn't put it down. I think I was reading till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And then the reveal that we won't reveal on the station.
Yes.
I got to that point. And then I had to put the play down, walk around the house like 3 times and then come back and then read the rest. It was just, it was amazing.
Guys, there's a mother effer of a twist in this play. Like the kind of twist where the audience, we all looked at each other. You know, we're all looking at each other going, ha, ha. Like people in any live audience, even in comedies, we don't look at each other. We all focus on what we're doing and we want to go. We want to disappear. This one, the twist, guys. Literally, you had even grown-ass men responding like girls. You know, and people, what just happened? Like, I've never seen an audience, this play is long, guys, but I've never seen an audience struggle to leave. Like, they struggle to leave at the end of this play on some. That did not just happen. That did, hey?
It's become our favorite part because we never expected that.
Yeah.
And then, because our first audience was in Grahamstown.
Yeah.
And it got to that point, and the whole audience, like, as one being, was like, oh! And we were like, yo! So now it's like our favorite part. We're like, wait for it.
Wait for it.
Awesome.
Oh, man. You guys have to go and see Scorched. Trust me, you will thank me. Now, Jade, every time on my show, I have a little section called Hugger Man. And in Hugger Man, I give one reason to hug a man that day. So we hug different kinds of men. There have been times we've hugged men who are nice to women. There have been days we've hugged men who change nappies. So it's anything. So what kind of man do you feel we should be hugging today?
Sure. Hug a man that is strong enough in his own masculinity that will support your femininity.
Boom, bitches. That is the most, you see this girl. This is a deeply thought out, this is an intellectual. This is not just hug a man. This
so if you see my husband, hug him.
Yeah, this is for the sapiosexuals out there. Yes. Say it again. They must hug a man who is comfortable.
Comfortable in his own masculinity to support your femininity.
Damn!
We had this a hectic discussion today at work in the kitchen. You know, those coffee kitchen talks about how men who feel inferior if a woman, you know, is more powerful or more independent or able to, you know, make more money or whatever that is. And then it feels like it reflects bad on them as men. Yes. And I was like, no, we don't have time for men like that. We don't have time. We don't have time for this. We have things to do.
Yes.
We don't have time.
Don't
for
make your
men.
Problems my problems.
Exactly. Yes. And so hug that man today.
Aww.
Hug that man.
Hey, we're giving tight squeezes out there to those men who are comfortable in their masculinity enough to celebrate a woman's femininity. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jade Bowers. She is the director of Scorched. Please watch this play. And once you've watched this play, get yourself a copy, own it and read it. Because wait, the translation, because it had to be translated.
Yeah,
right?
It was originally written in French.
Yeah.
And then translated to English by Linda Gabarau. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's also a movie.
There's a movie.
It's in French. Incendies.
Is there subtitles? Because I'll watch it if there's subtitles.
I haven't watched it yet. I think it has subtitles.
But then we're going to watch it and we're going to judge it because your rendition of it is amazing.
I don't see how they can outdo what you did with it, though.
Like,
well, I mean, it's a different art form.
But that poor guy's going to watch your play and then the guy who directed the movie and then he's going to see your play and he's going to wonder what he did with his life because then he's going to be like, yeah, but how is it that this play has captured what I couldn't capture in my movie? Because when I was watching it, funny enough, I did think this would make an amazing movie.
Mm.
This is you're a talented young lady.
2010.
You're talented. When am I? So what are you doing after Scorched?
Right. Well, a few things. I'm hoping to tour Scorched.
Okay.
We're looking into.
You're taking my husband away from me.
That's the idea.
Thank you for the break. Thank you. Longer sleep hours.
But we'll see what happens. Looking at a new project for next year.
Yeah.
Maybe some old projects coming back.
Is it? Can I audition?
Yes. Give me your agent's number.
I can act.
I'm not pretending like you can't.
No, but people don't even try. Everybody's like, yeah, but you're a comedian. Yeah, but I'm also a trained theater actor. Yeah, but you're funny. Yeah, but I have a CV. So I'm going to come audition for you next.
Do it.
Then you can. Then if I'm cack, you just go to. Because like, I feel like you go way back. You actually cack. So don't do this to yourself.
It's okay. If you've ever seen me act, you'll understand.
Yes, actually, I watched your interview. I laughed when you said you didn't get into the UCT drama.
I'm such a bad actor.
Because you couldn't act.
That's why I just surround myself by these amazing people. I'm like, yeah.
Are you living vicariously through the act?
Completely.
Ish.
Completely. I can't do it. I'm terrible.
But tell me about your, before we go, I was curious about this. Your parents let you go and study the arts. Now, were you guys already a working class family, middle class? Where were you? Because I also feel like, you know, families that are not rolling in it will generally not very quickly support a child who says they want to go and do the arts. So to have a family, that's very special. To have a family that goes, you want to do the arts? We've got your back. Just study. Just make sure you've got your degree. You can do whatever you want.
That was pretty much the thing. My parents were always supportive of whatever I wanted to do. They were like, just go get a degree.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you got a degree, sharp.
Yeah, you've proven that you're smart. You're not doing this because you didn't have a chance or you didn't have a choice.
Yeah. So it was... Yeah.
And they didn't say it's a backup plan. They went, just be educated. Just make sure you understand what's happening around you.
Completely.
That's beautiful. Because, I mean, there's nothing I can't stand. Like, people who ask me, so what was your backup plan when you went into the arts? I'm like, what do you mean? What's a doctor's backup plan? Are they studying accounting while they're studying medicine in case medicine doesn't work out? Like, I've never understood that.
Well, I mean, it's a hustle. You know, we don't pretend that it's not a hustle.
There are many unemployed doctors out there, Chama. It's a hustle for everybody.
Completely.
I don't see why people must treat the arts like it's the one place where you're throwing your life away.
That's because people don't want to pay for the arts. You must know this. But it's for exposure.
Exposure, ne?
To me, I know you've got all these audience and you've got so much experience, but come do a show for us. You'll get some exposure.
All I need to do is stand in the sun. That's all the exposure I need. I don't need your exposure. The sun is there. I will stand in it without sunscreen. I'll be exposed.
You know? So I think when people put value to the work that we do, those kind of stereotypes will
fall away.
Indeed.
I know. Auntie, let us vote wisely. Let us vote to hopefully the benefit of future generations. Ne? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to go and sip something stronger than tea. I will see you back here, same time, same place, sipping tea. And hey, P.S., not to jump the gun, but there might be news of a love back situation happening between myself and some boring.
Cliffcentral.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.